so much. Amen. Is everybody excited to be here tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is John Coates, and I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I work for Faith Christian Fellowship International, and I'm the youth coordinator, so I travel around and do conferences and camps. I speak at churches, have the opportunity just to travel around the country, and have been overseas a few times, and thank you so much for that. And I do want to say Miss Harrison and both Brother Lonnie wanted to say and send their greetings and say hello and God bless you. And they love you so much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, it says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. And man, I just want to, before we get started, the Bible says give honor to where honor is due. And man, Pastor Carl, I just want to say thank you so much for everything. You know, you've truly shown your heart these last few days and just opening your house and your heart and your hands. And thank you so much for all that you do and all that you've done for the kingdom, all that you do for people and that things that no one else knows. Love that scripture, and he will not forget your labor of love. And we just pronounce a blessing on you and Miss Jackie and know that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful for the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, man, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he's going to teach you all things. And something unique happened a couple weeks ago. And that I was praying for today, I was praying for this day, knowing I was going to be here, and I was in my office, and everyone else had left. There's about 10 of us. We work for Faith Christian Fellowship International, so we have about 300 churches across the United States and thousands around the world. I think just in Africa alone, we could be excited about what God is doing. And we come from good heritage in that both Buddy and Pat Harrison started the organization back in 1978. They're in their hotel room praying. They were traveling, speaking, and began to pray. And as they began to pray in the Spirit, they began to the Lord began to speak to them and say, I'm calling you, or go back to Tulsa and start a family church, a charismatic teaching center that will reach the world for Jesus. They went back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and started a church, not knowing what would happen. Just obeying God. 1 week, their first week, they'd have over 150 people, and by the third week, there would be over 1,000 people that would gather together. And it was there that they would begin to teach about the leading and the moving of the Holy Spirit. My father was there in 1979 and 80, and then I was born in 81 there in Tulsa attending that church. And I'm so grateful for that heritage, and I'm just so grateful for the heritage of the Slys. Going back, and I had the opportunity to be with Ben Sly up in Maryland just a few days ago. I guess that was Friday night. And that heritage is so rich. And I've had the opportunity to travel around the country and experience churches that understand the power of the Holy Spirit and churches that don't. And I'm telling you, if you belong to a church that understands the heritage of the Holy Spirit, you're blessed. You're so blessed, and it's so good. And I pray that tonight that you would understand a little bit more of that. Because when I was praying a couple weeks ago, I was in my office. I said all that to say, now we have a ministry, and it goes around the world. And I was praying, and everyone had left the office, and I just began to kind of walk the floor. And I like to walk when I pray. I'm a little bit more wild than probably I'll be tonight. But I just like to pray. And as I began just to pray, the Lord began to just speak some specific things that he wanted me to share tonight. And I believe it'll be a great blessing to you because, number one, it's not me, but it's what God wants to say to you. So he must love you so much that in the middle of the day, about 4 o'clock, 4:30, I guess it was 4:30 in the afternoon, I'd be praying and the Lord would say he would give me something. How many know God still speaks today? Amen. God still speaks today. He's never stopped because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? You believe that? Hallelujah. Sam, would you mind going up on stage and grabbing your guitar real quick? We're just going to follow the Holy Spirit. And I believe he's the one that really knows how to bless us real good. Amen. Why don't you just, if you would, stand to your feet. I know we've already stood to our feet. I know some things have happened, but I want to, this is something we do at our youth camps and conferences, and that's just, I want to help you understand how to prepare your heart to hear. Thank you. And I want you just right now, this is kind of how we do it, but the Bible says that when we believed on Jesus, it says he poured out his love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so the way that God works is speaks to us is through our spirit, not through a mind. Sometimes he uses vision. Sometimes he'll speak real loud where you can hear it. But the way God leads us today is in our spirit. And so before we hear the word, I'm just going to get us to a place where, and maybe some of you are already there, where we're all just attuned to right here where God is wanting to speak to us. Because I don't know about you, but I've sat through hundreds of sermons, and I couldn't tell you a thing about them. Because I just sat there, and I heard them, but I didn't hear them. And the Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. And so I found out that when it hits right here, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So as we get ready, he's going to just play a little rift, or I just believe actually right now as I'm even saying this, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, call for a minstrel. The prophet would call for a minstrel. And a minstrel was someone that was anointed to play an instrument. And as the minstrel began to play, it would set the atmosphere where people could then begin to receive the prophetic word that would come forth. And so as you just begin to play, there it is right there. As you begin to play, Sam, you're going to step into a new place. And there's going to be now a new grace. And now you now can begin to run your race. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just work with my friend here, Brother Sam. And you just play whatever's led. And as he's playing, what's awesome is he's going to begin to play from his heart. And maybe some of you have just been facing, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that just stuff, it's just like, just hitting you. Just you're stressed and everything at work just goes nuts. Your kids seem like it's like they pick the wrong week just to go wild. Work, school, you don't even have to be an adult to have those weeks. Oh, but the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it says, will come and guard your heart and guard your mind. And so as he plays, I want you just to begin right here, to look right here. The Bible says the same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and he too shall quicken, give life, rejuvenate, revigorate. It prepares our hearts. So just stand there with your eyes closed and just begin to look on the inside. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is he may begin to even speak to you, and he may say one word right now, and you may hear nothing I say the rest of the night, but you heard from heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Oh, we love you, Lord. In your presence, Lord, it's what my heart longs for. I want nothing more than your presence, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your presence. You so. You're a holy God. Hallelujah. Same. There's a song that goes, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Oh, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're working. Hallelujah. If you pray in the Spirit, I want you just, you don't have to do it real loud, just the Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to man, but he speaks to God. He utters mysteries with and by and through the Spirit. Goes on to say that he that prophesies speaks to man for their encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. He edifies the church. But he who speaks in a tongue, he edifies himself. He exhorts, comforts, builds up himself. And I'm explaining that, and if you've never heard anyone speak with tongues, you'll understand it more because we'll explain it tonight. And you're thinking, man, this sounds weird. I've never heard this. I've never experienced it. Well, we'll explain it because it was a gift that was given on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, given again in Acts 10 to Cornelius, and then again in Acts 19. And the Bible says every place we read that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says all of them began to speak in tongues. So it's not a gift for just some and for other, but it's available to anyone. And so we'll explain more of that. But right now, if you pray in the Spirit, you pray in tongues is what we like to call it. I want you just softly begin to just speak in that language. Just softly. You don't have to do it loud for everyone to hear. This is just between you and God. This is to build you up. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, no. We're going to just do something even a little step further. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. Right now, I just want you to begin to now sing in that language. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, this is the refreshing of the Lord in Isaiah. This is the refreshing. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I were facing a budget for a camp or a budget for something, a mission trip or something, and financially, it looks like it's just not going to happen. I've faced many things, you know, maybe even with our marriage or with our family, with our children, maybe with bills that we, over the years, we didn't look like we were going to be able to do. And it just seems like stress is all around you. And so we'll just take a moment and we'll just say, nah, we're not going to live like this. This isn't what God created us to live. And we'll just stop and we'll just begin to pray in the Spirit. We'll locate our spirit because that's where life comes from. We'll turn on some praise and worship music. And as we begin to pray, we'll get quiet. And we locate that and then we just begin to sing unto God. And some of you right now, you're sensing a place of peace that it's been a while. So now as he gets ready to play, I'm going to ask everyone, like, this is now a time we're just going to take a pause. The music's going to keep playing. If you feel led to lead it, you just kind of be led in however God's leading you. With your eyes closed and from that same place that you've been praying from, I want you just to get quiet. And I want you just to look right there from where you've been speaking in tongues from and get real quiet and just listen. And some of you, the answers that you've been looking for several weeks, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Now that you've got that peace, maybe the Lord's still speaking to some of you. Just keep listening. See, now the Bible says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth is that God loves us. The truth is that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But the truth is also that our brain has a way of just getting so full and so empty that it makes us feel so far away from God. But it's in these moments when that peace comes, now you can begin to worship him, truly worship him. And so now let's just all lift our hands. Let's just worship him. You're like, well, I don't know what to sing. I thought worship is a slow song. No, worship is your heart responding to who God is. Worship is you responding. And just maybe the only thing you want to say is, God, I love you. God, I worship you. God, I honor you. God, I adore you. God, you are good. Hallelujah. Sora candelidididididiste prosuta. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, God. Oh, we love you, Lord. Yeah, there it is, right there. You feel that? You sense that just in your heart? Oh, we thank you for that secret place. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've experienced that peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Join hands with the person standing next to you if you would. And let's just pray. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for the person on your left hand right now. Come on, just pray for him. James, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the person on your left side. Just pray for them. The Bible says, pray you one for another that you might be healed. Some of you will be healed just right now as we're praying. Pray. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you're working. Thank you for a spirit of unity right now. A spirit of unity, Father God. A spirit of unity. Thank you for fresh vision, fresh revelation, fresh manna from heaven, Lord. Come on, let's pray for the person on our other side. Let's just pray for them. God, we thank you for them. We thank you that you're working. We thank you that you're moving. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, we thank you that you do speak tonight. Let the word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, as we move forward in your word, we thank you that you do lead us and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. Thank you, Father God, that there are people that are here tonight that have been maybe just a little confused, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go. But, Lord, tonight I thank you through the word you're going to show. I thank you, Father God, that we are going to come to a revelation in a place where we truly know what it is and where it is that you want us to go. I thank you, Father God, that our feet will be like hinds' feet. We'll be able to run and not grow weary. I thank you, Father God, for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? If you have your Bibles, why don't you pull out your Bible? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up, if you would, to John, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want you to open up John 16, verse 12. Actually, we're going to go to verse 7 first. We'll go to verse 12. We'll see if there's any other verses we get to. I may read it and tell what the Lord showed me, and that's all we'll need to say. But I hope that right now, before we move forward, that some of you will understand you don't have to do that at church. You can do that at home. And just turn on a CD and go to that secret place of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and you'll be able to say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust. Amen. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we can do that every day, all day, if we want to. Jesus came and died so that we could believe upon him, and upon believing upon him, his spirit could come and dwell within us. So that, I better not get ahead of myself. Let's read this. I just want to encourage you all, though, that this is a training place. And so what you learn here, you take with you. John 16, verse 7, says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. If you have a King James, or if you have a red letter Bible, this is in red letters. Jesus is speaking here, and I love it because he says, I'm going to tell you the truth. He knows the truth. He is the truth. So when he speaks, you can trust it. Why? Because it's truth. He says, It is for your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Standby, the Intercessor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to who? You. It goes on to say some things, and so I want to stop right here, because Jesus says here, he actually says it in the King James Version, he says, it's expedient that I leave. When you hear the word expedient, you think about the word, he needs to go really fast, expedient, speed. I mean, you think that. But the New King James translates it different, and other translations translate it, which is really the correct word that for us, because we're not, you know, back in the 16th and 17th century, so that word expedient is not common to our vernacular. Is that the right word? But look at this guy. He couldn't even say his name, and look at him talking. I love it. Don't you love that? I love it. And so it says this, that the word is actually, it's advantageous for you that I go away. But do you want to, if you take it another step further, if you look it up, I love Google nowadays, especially on your phone, you can look it up. And it'll actually tell you when the word was created, when the word was at its highest peak of use, and it'll tell you where it is compared today to where it. And this word used to be in, you know, when the King James Version came out, I mean, the word expedient, the word advantageous, was a word that was used in everyday language. But it would better be said in today's language, if you look it up in the Greek, one of the words advantageous and expedient means this. Practical. Jesus said, you know, when I used to read it, I was a youth pastor for 6.5 years, and I used to teach to my, Jesus, when he said it, and I would get, you know, all worked up, he said, it's expedient. Jesus had to get out of here. Why? So the Holy Spirit and fire could come. And everyone got excited and said, amen. But as I begin to study this more in the Holy Ghost, I mean, sure, yeah, he said, I got to get out of here so the Holy Spirit can come to you. But I love what he said. He said, it is more practical for you that I go away. Why? Now, you got to understand the context of where Jesus is speaking, because in verse 16, or in 16:1, he says this. He says, I have said all these things to you, keep you from falling away. He's saying, he wouldn't say falling away if there wasn't going to be some situations that was going to make them fall away. Okay, get ready for this. We're getting ready to go a little bit deep. So it says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Now, these guys are Jews. They grew up going to the synagogue. They grew up, this is the place you want to be because this is where God is. This is where your family is. This is where your dad blessed you. Your grandfather blessed you. You heard, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is where their heritage. This is where they're, and he says, they're going to kick you out. Hold on, I thought you said advantageous, practical. They're going to kick me out? He says, the hour is coming whenever who kills you will think that he is offering services to God. Wait a minute. Why don't you just stay here so we don't have to die? You're telling me you're going to leave and it's to my advantage? That doesn't sound too practical to me for me to die. And it says, this, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me, but I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. He didn't say they're going to try to kill you, but they won't kill you. He didn't say they're going to try to kick you out of synagogues, but I'm going to save you. Bless God, bless going in, bless going out in the city and the field. Everything you set your hand to is going to be blessed. He says, no, they're going to kill you. And then he goes on and says, but hey, it's for your advantage that I go away. Why don't you just stay here so we can all be a happy family? Advantage? Wait, hold on. You're the guy that breaks bread. You take a Long John Silver's dinner and you feed the multitudes. You spit in mud and you make mud pies and then you create eyeballs out of them and people who have never seen before begin to see. You cast devils out. You walk on water. You pray all night and don't eat breakfast and can walk on the water? Why you gotta go? And he says, hey, it's cool, bro. It's actually for your advantage that I go away. Why is that? Because as much as Jesus was God, he also had to come as a man. And so in the boat, they're in the boat. Remember? And they're all afraid. They're like, well, what are we going to do? I'm probably like Peter. You know, I act like I'm all hard and I got it all together. And I'm just like, man, Jesus, I got your back. And as soon as the storm comes, you know, crying and wailing, we gotta wake Jesus up, man. You gotta wake Jesus up, we're gonna die. I love it. I just would love to see a modern day movie made about when Jesus is walking on water, because the word that's used there is they are freaking out. They think it's a spirit. How many of you have ever heard of the Loch Ness Monster? Like, there was plenty of rumors going around about different monsters during the night and things like that. And you know Peter, he was acting like he was all hard, and then he saw it and said, we're going to die. That's that spirit they've been talking about. And he says this, so he has to take a nap. How many know it says that they were trying to cast the devil out and they couldn't? They had to go and get Jesus. So he's off. He's basically saying this, it's to your advantage. It's more practical that I go away, because see, while I'm here, I'm limited to you 12. But see, when I go to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to anyone and everyone who believes. And he's going to be with you. He's going to be like a 7-Eleven. You're going to have a big gulp, and it's going to be open 24/7. How many of you ever been in the middle of the night? Anyone ever been driving in the middle of the night, and you've been on a long road trip, and you've been going through the night? I was preaching one night, and I got done preaching in Arkansas, and we drove 45 minutes, and we drove 45 minutes back, and they were going to put me up at the church. They were going to let me sleep there, and they made this nice little pallet, and they had nice little waters. I mean, they were just doing their thing, making me feel so good. I walked in there, and I was getting ready to lay down. Kids were filled with the Holy Spirit. People were healed. We took up received an awesome offering, and they received a great offering for me, and the Lord just said, I want you actually just to give it to the pastor for his vacation. You're like, John, I thought you said you had a good time. And so, I mean, we just sowed, and we just looked at it. I was like praising God, and I laid down. It's 12:30 at night, and that's usually about the time I'm kind of starting to slow down. And all of a sudden, I lay it down on the pillow. I'm just praising Jesus, and in my heart, the Lord says, go home. Go home. So, go home. So I called my wife and I said, I really feel like I'm supposed to come home. Joy's like, it is the middle of the night. You go to bed is what you do. You don't be driving all sleepy, because I lived about 4 hours away. We had to go through these hills and everything. And I said, I just couldn't get away from it. I said, I called her again. Hey, wake up. I had to call her 3 or 4 times to wake her up. I got to come home. And she's like, whatever, just kind of like when you get the click, that means you're going to do what you're going to do. So just do it. So I went ahead, I packed up my bags. I texted the youth pastor. I said, I'm coming home, or I got to go home. So I'm driving, the first 30, 45 minutes, dude, it's like just praying. I got my worship music on, man. We are just going after it. And about 45 minutes into it, those eyes start crossing and lights start flashing and all of a sudden you got to go to the bathroom. And I'm in the middle of Arkansas. Where I grew up in Kansas. We called it Arkansas. So I'm in the middle. And if you know stories about people from Arkansas, y'all know stories from? All right. We'll skip that part. So, I mean, you just don't want to stop just anywhere. So you're going and you're looking for a place because you got to use the restroom. And you can't find a place. They're all closed. And so you're looking. And all of a sudden, it's like you finally find the one that's open. And you get in there and it says, out of order. Really? Get back in your car, And I don't know about you if you've ever been that way, but how many know it's more convenient, it's more advantageous if there would just be a gas station on every corner on the highway from the place you're going to the place you need to get so you can stop whenever and however you want. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is to us. He came, why? So that anytime, the middle of the night, the middle of the day, no matter what's going on, he is on point. He is ready, ever making intercession for us. He is ready to lead us, to guide us, to counsel us. In the middle of the night, I've been staying in some crazy places sometimes, and I'll just be honest with you. You hear all those stories, and when you haven't had sleep, and you've been traveling here and going there, and all of a sudden you lay down, and sometimes you hear, and you think it's a gunshot, you don't know what it is, and you remember all the stories you heard on 2020 and all this stuff about some random hotel and some random place. And you're like, I woke up the other night, and when I opened my eyes, I was in a hotel up in Maryland, or actually I was in Dover, Delaware, on Sunday. And I opened, and they had like the TV, had one of those, I don't know what those are called, the big wooden things where the TV sets in it. And when I opened, it looked like this 9-foot guy was standing there, and I just rebuked it, Jesus' name. And then I opened my eyes and realized it's just the TV, and I was like, oh. But my heart was just, but in that moment, I was so freaked out, I just began to do just what we did right here. I just began to pray in the Spirit. I began to just quote scriptures. Greater is he that's in me. If God is for me, then who could be against me? No evil will befall me. No disaster will come near my tent. I'll only observe my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And the Holy Spirit just kept bringing those scriptures to my remembrance. It's so more advantageous that Jesus went away. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would be with me always. But this is where it gets real interesting, because you're like, okay, I hear all that, but some of y'all might be a little bit practical, so Jesus even takes it a little bit more practical. Let's go down to verse 12. And Jesus is still saying this, and Jesus is basically telling them, I still have many things to say to you. Jesus saying, I got some things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That word bear means this. You cannot carry them. You cannot burden them. You're not strong enough. You don't have the mental capacity right now. Jesus is like, I want to tell you what's going on in my prayer closet, man. The Lord just showed me what y'all are going to go through. But if I was to tell you right now, you'd all jump up and run away. If I was to tell you right now, no one would want to ever follow me because, come on, somebody. You ever done that? You ever said yes to Jesus and they said, this is the best decision you've ever going to make and you're going to have so much peace and so much joy, and you walk out the door and your kids just start screaming and yelling and your water bill comes and you forgot to pay it and your water gets turned off and it's like everything that could go wrong goes wrong and you're like, where's that peace at? Where's the best decision? This sounds like the worst decision. I got a feeling they wouldn't be, why wouldn't they be able to bear it? They didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them. And so Jesus said, I can't tell you right now, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What does that mean, he's going to guide you into all truth? There's a lot of things I want to say to you and tell to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit, he'll let you know on those things. He'll be able to tell you. He'll be able to help you. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you. We just got that word declare twice. If you've got a King James version, it's going to say something different, but the word really is to declare. Declare it to you. The word, actually, you know, you can look at the word declare as you can make a proclamation, give news. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Three times, I believe in the King James Version, the word is actually show, or S-H-E-W, show you things to come. He will show you, he will show you, he will show you, he will declare to you, he will say to you, he will talk to you. The word there, the emphasis is, you're going to know. That's the word, the emphasis there is, you're going to know. And one time when I was praying and I was looking up this word in the Greek and the word declare, this is the picture that I got. Have you ever been in the middle of the room, or maybe like this happened to me, I was at the airport the other day, I was standing in a long line, there's people everywhere, they were trying to check their luggage in, they were trying to check their bags in, and as I began to stand there and sit there, all of a sudden I heard the word, John. I was like, yes, Lord. I heard it again, John. So I began to look around. I thought maybe the Lord, you know, I thought I was going to have, I mean, I've been believing God for some cool things to happen. I thought Jesus was just going to show up in the airport, stand next to me, and tell me everything he wanted me to do with my life. But I looked back, and it was my friend Will. He's like, hey, man, where you going? He's like, dude, I'm going to the East Coast. He's like, sweet, dude, I'm going to Iraq. I was like, God bless you. He works for an IT company that gets, they do teaching in universities across the world. And so anyways, but what happened was it got my attention and I knew he was talking to me. And one night when I was praying, that's the picture that I got, that there was a room of people and someone looks and points at you and says, James, hey, I'm talking to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He will speak so specifically to you that you know, that you know, that you know that God is speaking to you. That sounds pretty advantageous to me, doesn't it? Isn't that pretty good news? That's good news. Some people, when they think about the Holy Spirit, they these kind of words get floated around. Flaky, weird, holy roller. But Jesus was saying, some of that's going to happen for sure, because, man, when you get filled with the charge of God, the life of God, that your body can't even... Man, this summer, this girl was going to pray over me at camp, at our Oklahoma camp. And she was standing from me to the door. And every step she took, it was like this magnitude of just like, I don't even know. I couldn't even feel it. But, man, it was so full of peace and full of grace. And man, she's prophesying over me, and she's prophesying over me. And I'm trying to listen to the prophecy, but I can't even listen because I'm trying to just hold myself up. Me and my wife are holding hands, and we're both just, next thing I know, I kind of open, you know, I knew I was on the ground, but I opened my eyes, and they were like, dude, you've been down there for a while. Why? Because you can't stand that presence of God. All that was going to happen. Jesus knew that was going to happen, but he basically was trying to say, but listen, it's practical. The Holy Spirit, practical. Look at your neighbor and say, practical. You know, nowadays, last night we had a missionary. He was in town last night with us. And I have a U-verse, AT&T U-verse in Oklahoma. Everyone has, I mean, AT&T. No one has Verizon. I mean, Verizon, people have Verizon, but it's not as big as it is out here. And so last night, you know, we're going to watch the basketball game, and Pastor Carl has DirecTV, right? I've never used a remote control with DirecTV. And so Ramon had, and so he, you know, was finding the basketball game, and we were just kind of talking and hanging out. But do you remember back in the day, I don't know, some of y'all are maybe too young to remember this, but you remember back in the day before there was such thing as this thing called cable, and they had these stations called UHF and VHF. And you remember, man, you'd be watching your favorite show, and all of a sudden, a cloud would just kind of come over your house, and the TV just starts getting real fuzzy, and it's not real clear of what's going to go on. And if you're the youngest in the family, they would yell your name. I never was, my little brother, so we'd kick him. Get up there! And so he'd have to get up there, and he'd be adjusting those bunny ear antennas, you know? This was before this was probably even when, remember when cable was only like three or four stations? I mean, you know, in that big old dial. Anyway, so you'd be up there moving it, and he'd be twisting it and moving it, and then you'd have him hold up his leg because there's some, you know, it was just weird how it worked. And then that wouldn't work, so then you'd go in people's house, and some of them would have a whole roll of tinfoil wrapped around those things, and they'd have these huge balls of tinfoil, look like aliens and going to land in there and do some business, and, you know, and then he's hanging, and then it was like if you would touch the wall with something. It was like, then you would let go one arm, and this, the football games, the last 2 minutes, the guys are marching down the field, they're getting ready to score, so then everyone's yelling, no, the other way, no, the other way, and he's just up there, and then my little brother being a sensitive, he's just crying, ah! And my dad, you know, we're like, well, you can cry, but don't let go, keep moving. And you just keep on moving those things, and then it would be like a clear, and then fuzzy, and then clear, and then fuzzy, and then finally, it'd just get clear. And then all of a sudden, does he catch the pass? Fuzzy. Oh, no. What happened? Am I the only one that ever had to experience that? By your laughter, I'm guessing that most of us. Even now, they have a digital one. My in-laws, dude, they are cable will never enter their house. I mean, I think they are, like, determined, you know, never. And so now they have the digital ones. But it's the same thing. It's a big old floppy disk is what it looks like. And they have it, like, stuck up on the wall. You know, it's up on the wall, and if you want to watch the football game on Channel 8, it's up on the wall, but if you want to change it to 23 to Fox to watch the game, you got to put it on top of the TV. You know, you got to adjust it and move it. That's not too advantageous, you know what I'm saying? But when you have cable, you just change the channels, and because it's a direct line. And see, in the Old Testament, that's what they had to do. They had to get a prophet to come up there and kind of find out where God was moving and what God wanted to say. And they had to get it. But right when they got it, of course, he's marrying someone that he wasn't supposed to from this other clan. And this guy's yelling it. And all of a sudden, they just go fuzzy. But the Holy Spirit came. Why? So he could give us a direct line, a direct access, so that God's will could be as plain and as clear as day. But I found out, if you're like me and you're any bit human, then I found out that, I don't know about you, I've been told I have a direct line. I have direct access to God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, they that are united with the Lord are one with him in spirit. The Bible says, in God's spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he will come and dwell, make his home. I always think of HGTV when I think of that scripture. He comes, he redecorates, he retransforms it, and pulls down some walls and beats up and puts a new kitchen in there, and he comes and chills inside you and leads you and guides you. But how come if he's leading me and guiding me and he is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, how come God's will sometimes seems so fuzzy? Anybody ever been there before? Been fuzzy before? You like wanted to go do something? Many times that'll happen to me. Lots of times. Do we buy this or don't we buy this? Do we get this car or that car? Do we get this loan or that loan? Probably should listen a little closer, because he'd probably say, don't get any loans. Remember what you went through with credit cards. Come on, somebody. Do I pay this bill? Do I pay that bill? Life just seems fuzzy. Okay, what is God really calling me to do? you know, I got this degree in this, but I really have a heart for this. But maybe if I really have a passion about that, that's my flesh passion, and that's really not what God wants me to do. Or should I go here? Should I go there? Should I take a left? Should I take a right? Should I buy that dress or that dress? Because if I buy that dress, what if it goes on sale in 2 weeks and I totally, and it's just like fuzzy. And then it just makes you want to just say, I don't care. I'm just going to go. And then you're like, wait, why did I just go? I should have prayed more. Man, that's not too practical. That's not too much joy and fun, the abundant life Jesus promised. Is it? Ah. Oh, I think we could all, how many could attest to say, you know what, sometimes God's will just gets real fuzzy. Anybody just be real in here and say, yeah, I am a little bit human. Right? I mean, and so I began to pray. I was praying in the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, anyone who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray that he could interpret. Why? Because when he speaks in an unknown tongue, his mind is unfruitful. Your mind was created to live in a natural world, controlled by natural things and solve natural problems. But God is a supernatural God. Your mind can't conceive it. Your ears can't hear it. Your eyes can't see it. What God has prepared for those who love him. But 1 Corinthians 2:10, God reveals the deep and the hidden things of God by his Spirit. And so our mind is like, oh my gosh, what's the carpet? And we're praying in the Spirit. So I'm just praying in the Spirit, praying that I could interpret. All right, Lord. And as I began to, this scripture just kept rising up in me. And I'll declare to you the things that are to come. I'll declare. And I just kept, as I began to pray in the Spirit, and this word would just keep coming up in me, declare. And I'll pray some more, declare. And then all of a sudden I said it, and I thought I missed it. Pronunciated it. You know, I did go to Kansas public schools. And so I said, instead of saying declare, I said declear. You know, my mind's like, what did you just say? And my spirit man's going, go for it. So I just keep praying and I'm just like, what in the world? And I just kept saying declare. Every time I try to say declare, I said declear, 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 declear. And then I realized what the Holy Spirit was trying to say to me. He says, I want to declare the will of God to people. So it will be clear. His job is to make it clear. Well, John, that sounds all fine and dandy, and I really believe it. I read the word, but why isn't it so clear? And so I'm going to just try to, in the next few moments real quick, we're going to just try to walk through something so we can understand how God leads and how things can become clear, okay? I need you two right here. Why don't you come help me? Why don't you come help me? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got the badge. Why don't you guys come up here? All right, so I need three of you just real quick. We're going to walk through this real quick. All right. You stand over here for me. You'll be the girl, so you kind of be in the middle because you're the smart one. And you'll be my spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be kept blameless till the day of Christ. God said in the beginning, let us create man in our own image. He said, notice how he said, in our image. So who's he talking to when he says, let us create man in our own image? Well, he's speaking to Jesus, right? God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's a triune being creating us to be a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And we're just going to kind of show this and prove this element real quick. So how many know in the beginning God said he called them up? And so this guy's your spirit, man. This is your eternal being. This is your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your memory, your imagination, your feelings. And this is your body. Your body is controlled by your feelings, by your touch, your smell, your taste, your listening, your taste. Your natural faculties that allow you to live in this world. It's got bones. It's got flesh. It's got all of that. And so what happened is God created this, why? So that we could be his children and function in a natural world. But when he came to Adam and Eve, he told Adam and Eve, he said, dude, check this out. You got all this food you can eat. Dude, you talk about a Chinese buffet. He said, you can just eat whatever you want. He says, but hold up. There's this one place, this one thing that you cannot eat of, the one tree. And if you eat of it, he says, you're surely going to die. Now, if you read the scriptures and you read the story, all of a sudden, what happens? What does the enemy come in? The enemy comes in and says, all right, really? You think God just doesn't want you to eat that because he'll make you smart. And what do we do when our parents tell us, don't go to that place? You can go anywhere, but just don't go to that one place. We say, let's go to the one place, right? When it says you're not supposed to do something, there's something on the inside of us that says, well, let's do the something we're not supposed to do, right? I don't know about you. It says go 55, and I hear 75. I'm like, hey,
You know, some people hear 55 and they hear 35. You're like, come on. You know, and so you have a body, you have a soul. So when they ate of it, the fruit, it says, God said they will surely die. But as soon as they eat, it says they both looked at them and noticed they were naked. They looked at each other and they said, you're naked. You can't notice someone's naked if you're dead. It says, and then they says they made coverings for themselves, and then they went and hid. So dead people don't make coverings for themselves, and they don't go hide. So where did man die? Did man die? Well, God would be a liar if they didn't die. What happened to him? Instead of God talking to them in the cool of the day, God has to now shout at him, yo, Adam, where you be? He says, I'm right here, God. Why did he have to do that? Why? Because now he is separated from God. Why? Because man didn't die physically. He died spiritually. So now he's cut off from God. This guy is dead. He's alive in the essence that he can still sense the supernatural, but he's dead unto God. He can't live a godly life. He can't produce the fruits of righteousness. So God now has to deal with man on the exterior because he can't lead him from the interior. So he gives him not just 10 commandments, but really 600 and some commandments. Do not lie. Do not, you know, steal. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. How many of you would say you've ever looked at your neighbor who had a much nicer car than you and said, he don't deserve that. He's a buster. Anyone ever done that? Oh, I wasn't holding up my hand either. So how many of you've ever lied before? Come on, somebody. You ever lied before? How many of you have ever stolen something in your lifetime? This one kid he was accepting Jesus in a church in Dover. And I said, well, have you ever stolen anything? And he says, well, no, I have. No, I haven't. Well, I mean, there was that one little thing, but that doesn't count. I was like, bro, yeah, it kind of does. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God had to give us commandments. And because man couldn't live, the Bible says in Romans 8, it says, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. This man that's controlled by the natural flesh, it wants naturally flesh. It can't think supernatural. It can't think heavenly. It can't think eternally because it's not an eternal being. It's going to be left here. From dust we rise, to dust we'll go. And so he is stuck here. And so he looks at things and looks them through a natural eye. And sin always says, I want it now, and never thinks about eternal consequences. Why? Because this flesh is not going to live eternally. Does that make sense? And so what happened was Jesus came, and the Bible says anyone, the man came, says, how is man going to go to heaven? He says, he must be born again. And the dude looks at him and says, born? You mean he got to climb up in my mom and be born? What? And Jesus is like, oh, what's going on here, you know? He says, no, you must be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but get ever, that word everlasting life doesn't just mean heaven. It means God's life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Adam and Eve passed away. Behold, all things become made new. So now God puts his spirit within us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, they that are united with the Lord become one with him in spirit. So God's spirit, God is a spirit, the Holy Spirit, the holiness of God comes and indwells within us. But the problem is we still have a mind, a will, and emotions, and a memory that's been programmed to follow this guy. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. The spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They're in a battle, or they're at odds with one another. I'll prove this. How many of you have ever been in front of your parents and your mom asked you, and there's part of you that says, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. And there's part of you that says, wait, I lied last time, and if I lie this time, I'll probably get away with it, and they'll never find out, and it'll be all right, and I'll probably get some kind of high five. There's a battle going on. I shouldn't eat this, but man, I'm really hungry. I shouldn't be probably drinking all this soda because I told myself I wasn't going to, but it's so good. You ever done that? The flesh and the spirit, they're odds. Self-control. Why does God got to put self-control, the fruit of the spirit? Because this guy doesn't have any self-control. You know, and this guy, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our memory, when you got saved, did you just forget everything that you've ever done in life? No. Why? Because this isn't the guy that got saved. This is the guy that got saved. But the Bible says this in James 1. It says, but the word of God that has the ability to save the soul. What do you mean save the soul? We got to read Romans 12. It says this, do no longer be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus said the flesh counts for nothing, but it's the spirit that gives life. John 6:63. My words are spirit and they are life. That word life is the same word when it says that his life will come and dwell within you. So how do we make sure that life doesn't stay so fuzzy? We're going to close with this scripture. And I pray that I've gone fast, but I pray that the Holy Spirit is helping you. And tonight you're going to know what to do because your flesh is going to, your spirit's going to say, man, I should just go pray in the spirit and get in the peace of God. And this guy over here is going to say, dude, that one game is on. You know, you've worked all day long. You deserve a rest. Why don't you lay down and watch the shows that you like to watch? You deserve it, right? How many of you have ever got done watching TV all day and you were like, whew, I feel rested? But there's something about this flesh that says, hey, feed me. You ever done that? You're like, I'm going to read the Bible in 1 year this year. I'm going to read it all the way through, pray God's word and confess God's word, and I'm going to be spiritual. 3 months later, you're like, dude, I probably should read my Bible. Why is that? Paul's writing to the Galatians, and the Galatians, the same thing had happened. They had gotten saved, gotten filled with the Spirit, and it goes on to say, oh, dear Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You fought, you were running such a good race. The word bewitched literally means to cast a spell. Like, it's like they woke up one day and was like, oh my gosh, start living an opposite way. And so Paul was bringing some clarification. You can read. This is my favorite book of the Bible. Wow, they're all my favorite. But this is probably what God has used to help me out more than anything. And so let's go over to verse 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and then we'll go to 6, 7. This is why I believe that God has called me to the kingdom of God and to teach his people, is this simple thing, especially with teenagers, because I used to tell them not to listen to this and watch that and do that, and I used to tell them to read their Bible, pray every day, and they'll grow, and I kept finding out that no one was doing it. And the louder I preached and the longer I preached, the less they did it and the less they wanted to do it. So then I began to pray, and the Lord began to show me the way, and he began to show me you got to teach them something, and you can't make them do it. You got to teach them this. Verse 5:16, Paul says this, but I say, walk ye in the what? In the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the. You ever had one of those things, I don't know, addictions maybe, or you ever had one of those things that you just keep getting stuck in a rut to? It doesn't even have to be like super bad where we would all stand up and be like, oh, that's disgusting. But maybe a bad habit, right? Can't maybe just all kinds of bad habits, right? There's one thing, if you show up late every day to work, you're going to get fired. A guy called me today, one of the kids that was in my youth group, and now he's in college, and he called me up today and said, hey, dude, I'm headed home. And I was like, oh, awesome. He's like, yeah, I just got fired. Oh, not awesome. Well, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, so he got fired. But the Bible says if you be led by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires. So how is life going to get clear? How are we going to be led by the Spirit? Because when we're led by the Spirit, this is how God leads us. This is where God wants us to say, hey, check this out. I'm calling you to raise up a nation of young people. That's what he said to me. So all of a sudden, this guy heard it, and this guy says, you hear that? And this guy says, oh, I heard that. And comes over here and says, hey, we're moving to Tulsa. God said we're going to go to Tulsa and raise up a nation of young people. And this guy said, why go to Tulsa? So he goes and says, why go to Tulsa? And so this guy goes, why do we want to go to Tulsa? And so God's like, because there's a bunch of young people that I've destined them for greatness, but they don't understand how. So hear that, and then this guy tells this guy, and then this guy says, wait, what a minute. I don't even have any money. We're eating a ramen. All of our cars just got repossessed. You're 19 years old, and you haven't even gone to Rhema Bible Training Center. And so this guy says, what are we going to do? What? So this guy keeps praying a little bit longer in the spirit, sha-la-la-la-la-ba-ba-ba-ba. And all of a sudden, I just knew in my heart, this peace came on me. And this guy says, I don't know. We got peace. And this guy says, what? What are you talking about? Peace. I need some information. I'm a mind. I solve problems. I work on natural wisdom. The Bible says, be led by the Spirit. He just says, why don't you shut up? We're going to be led by the Spirit. Go to Tulsa. How was I able to do that? Galatians 6, 7 says this, do not be deceived. Do not be tricked. Do not be connived. Do not be talked out of. God is not mocked. You can't prove God wrong. You can't play a trick on God and be like, hey, I got you. You can't. Why? Because he knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning, beginning to the end, upside down, right side up, inside out. He knows it all. And the Bible says here, oh, you can put your arms down. You're probably going to get tired. And plus, you look like Jesus on the cross. And it's not Easter yet, so we're not doing that drama. So Galatians 6, 7, it goes on to say, but God will not be mocked, for whatever who sows? Whatever a man, does it say whatever the pastor sows? Does it say whatever the church sows? Does it say whatever the apostle says? Whatever Benny Hinn says? Whatever TBN says? No, it says, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the... But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So many people have tried to say, well, that... It's more than salvation is so much more than heaven. I like what one guy said. It's so much more than going to heaven. It's so much more that heaven comes and lives in you. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so this is what I found out. When life to me gets fuzzy, I was watching Charles Stanley on the TV the other night. I was praying and studying, getting ready for the next day. And I just thought, man, I'm just going to listen to some good words. So I turned on. Charles Stanley was talking about five ways to overcome temptation. And he really talks about really this simple principle right here. He says, whenever you find that you're tempted, you better have some scriptures. Why? Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. That life that you plant an orange seed, what kind of tree are you going to get? Okay, I know we're from Virginia, but the answer is orange. Okay, you plant an orange seed, you get a orange. You plant an apple seed, you get a... Now, if I came up to you and I was to say, you know what, I watched this internet thing last night, check it out. Everything you read on the internet is true, right? Of course. So I read on this internet, there's this one guy, and met this one guy, and he's over in Asia, and dude's super smart. You know, Asians, they're way smart. And he has this one way that he took this apple seed and reconstructed it on the inside, and you get an orange tree. I saw the video. You know, I know the video looked like they edited it, but I doubt that they did that because everything's true on the internet. And so you planted this seed, and then they showed this out, you know, and then it turned into an orange tree, and it was crazy. For $9.95, we could buy these seeds. They'll ship them to our door. We can plant them, and we will show the world that we are phenom. So we go ahead and buy it. We get it. We plant it. 5, 10, 15 years, we're living in this excitement. We're telling everyone, oh, come to my house. Oh, look, there's a bud, and we're getting all excited about all this, and we're saying, uh-oh, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Everybody get ready, and all of a sudden, wait, we just got to... deceived. That's exactly what the enemy does. The enemy comes in like this because he knows where God lives. Why does it say casting down vain imaginations that sets itself up against the obedience of God? Because God, the devil comes in here just like he did Eve. Did God really, you know grace. Do you really have to read your Bible every day? I don't think so. I mean, look at these shows. I mean, these shows aren't that bad. I mean, what's wrong with them? So what? I know that that stuff's wrong, but I'm smart enough to know that that stuff's wrong. I mean, who cares? Yeah. I mean, really, do we have to go to church every Sunday? Do we have to? I mean, really, he might be the pastor, but does he really know God's voice? And because it feels like us, it feels like this is us, feels right. This guy says, it must be right, and does it. And we just think, oh, it's okay because I'm saved. I'm saved by grace. I got this significant seed of grace living in me.
And we, you know, the devil, he knows, the Bible says he even knows the scriptures. He tempted Jesus with the scriptures. And he's like, you know, the Bible does say you need a day of rest. But, you know, we do live in America, and, you know, that's old school. Now you deserve 2 days of rest. You worked on Saturday. You should be off on Sunday and Monday. Why should you go to church on your day off? That's not rest. You go there and work. That's not rest. This guy, I never thought about that. I'm tired anyway. Let's sleep. And we think we're going to be all right. I love God. I even listen to Christian radio. Next thing you know, we don't realize it. You take off, you start at the bottom and it's 1 degree. But if you stay on course for that 1 degree, next thing you're at 45 degrees. Next thing you're almost at 90 degrees. Next thing you're at 180. Now you're going the opposite direction. And you've been deceived. And you wake up one day, and because you're still saved, and because this guy is somewhat alert, but because you haven't sown to him, he's saying, wrong way, wrong. But you've let the enemy come in, and it's called a stronghold. And he gets in and says, no, we're smart. Did God really say? And when was Eve? When did she bite the apple? When she bought into the thought. Yeah, did God? I mean, I don't know if that's, I mean, surely God knows. They were deceived. And so that's why we need God's word. That's why David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what he even went on to say? How can a young man, undisciplined man, how can a young man that has passion burning within him, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the So even a man without the Spirit said, it's possible if you'll just keep this in front of you. No wonder God told Joshua, meditate on my word day and night. Do not to the left, to the right, but meditate on it day and night that you might be careful to do all that's written within it. I feel the lights kicking on. So why does life get fuzzy? Life gets fuzzy because we get empty. This guy's alive unto God, but this guy right here gets tired and weary. It goes on to say in Galatians 6, do not get weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we don't give up. You ever been standing in faith for something, and all of a sudden you're like, I've been standing, and this guy looks at his watch. I've been in church. He's been preaching. It's already, some of you that are getting ready to look at your watch, it's already 8 o'clock. We're supposed to be out of here by now. Do we really have to do this? I mean, I've got my checker. I checked off the list that I went to church on Wednesday night. Surely this is enough. Let's quit. Oh, but if we'll just take time. That's why it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's three things I want to just leave with you. If you got notes, if you got your iPad, your iPhone, your iPad, you can open up your notes section. If you get nothing else that I say tonight, if you want to make sure life doesn't get fuzzy, there's three things the Lord showed me that you're going to have to do. It's called the M&Ms of the Word. You got to get your mind and your mouth set on the Word. They're in agreement. They're set. My mind, my mouth. I'm saying the word. I'm confessing the word. I'm speaking the word over my family. When I get up in the morning, I speak the word over my children. I speak the word over my wife. I remind myself every day, he who finds a wife finds a good thing in favor from the Lord. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Come on, somebody. Why? Because it keeps this guy, that's how he rolls. He rolls in agreement with the word of God. So this guy, the second thing, so MM, mind and mouth with the word, M&Ms of the word, your mind and your mouth, and then you pray in the Holy Ghost. Prayer's good in general, and I'm not saying don't pray with your understanding, but there's a lot of people praying to a woman that they think is going to go to Jesus and get Jesus to do what they pray to her. That doesn't work. I'm in the wrong state. Okay, well, act like I didn't say that one. Okay, So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that anyone who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man, but speaks to God, because he utters mysteries with his spirit. It goes on to say, I don't have time to do all this, but it basically says this, he that speaketh in a tongue, he edifies himself. Why? Because this guy doesn't know what we're saying. This guy doesn't know what we're saying, but he by faith is moving his mouth. He by faith, or she by faith, is saying, I don't know what's going on. We're just going to trust God's word that says we're building ourselves up. And we're using our faith, we're using our spirit, and we're building our spirit up. And the Bible says, do not be drunk on wine, which is an excess, but be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many of you tonight, when we got done praying and Sam was playing, how many of you just really felt like it was pretty easy just to kind of... You can still feel it in the room if you'll just... Why? Because the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, I love those fruits. So I always teach students, you pray in the Spirit till either a fruit or a gift shows up. There's many times I'm praying in the Spirit. You were already ready. I'm praying in the Spirit over buying a car, and as I'm praying in the Spirit, I don't have peace. There's like this, something's not right. I'll be praying about a trip I'm getting ready to take, and God will do, something's not right. I almost bought a car one time. If we would have bought the car, I won't go into the whole story. We ended up being able to take the car back because they didn't get my title for my trade-in. Found out a day later we were pregnant and we needed to buy our house, and now we've bought the house that we've enjoyed so much peace in. If we would have bought the car, we would have had some little car that's probably worth nothing and falling apart. God wants to lead us. Why? Because it's so practical that he would go away. Why? So that now each and every day and every decision we can... Every day, sow to the Spirit, so we can live. And it says in 5:16, they that are led by the Spirit, it doesn't say they'll never have desires of the flesh. It says, but they won't gratify them. They won't allow their mind to take over. It'll be led by the Spirit. Isn't that good news? God has given us a direct link, a direct connect, like cable, so that we can always have clarity. Hallelujah. Oh, I can just sense it. Some of you, it's hitting. And I just want to challenge some of you right now. Never, ever make a major life decision without spending much time sowing to the Spirit. Because your flesh has desires. Your soul can have good desires and even somewhat look godly, but it may not be God's desires for you. Every time I travel on the East Coast, someone, Ramon, even said to me, dude, you should just move to the East Coast. You're out here all the time. It's much better out here anyway. You know, like, I'm going to be honest with you. There's something that feels so right about being out here. I get to travel, I'm ministering, the gifts are flowing, things are flowing, and it just seems, why not? But when I go home and I'm like, and one time me and Joy were just like, that's it, pack our bags, let's go. I went back to the word of God that God gave me years ago and says, I'm calling you to Tulsa to raise up a nation of young people. Oh, I'm so glad he made it so clear for me. I've wanted to leave so many times, but whenever I go back to that word, I've wanted to leave my church so many times. But the Lord said, I'm calling you to Tulsa to serve Pastor Fred and Cookie Brothers right after raising up a nation of young people. So even when I'm frustrated with my church, all right, it takes faith, but it wouldn't be faith if it was just like, this is so easy and so much fun, and I just love it. It's just so good, and I get goosebumps. Lights, camera, action, woo! It wouldn't be faith. God gave me that word. Why? That even in its most, if I'll just go back to that word, it never fails. My wife and I on a Saturday night, do we have to go to, I'm just being real. Can I be real? Do I have to go to church tomorrow? There is. I won't say what we say. And all of a sudden, I'll be like, all right, let's pray. And right when I get ready to pray, I'm calling you to Tulsa to serve Pastor Fred and Cookie Brothers. Yes, sir. And when we humble ourselves and get in line with the word that he spoke to us, it's always one of those Sundays that God just speaks to us and we're so filled and so full of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I better stop because I could just go all night. Well, thank you guys so much. You can have a seat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, did you learn anything tonight? Did you get something tonight? Did you catch it? Amen. He came to make God's will declare. Declare. So clear. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Real fast before we shut down, is someone having back pain right here? Anyone having back pain right there? Maybe even in the upper right here, in the back right here? You having pain in the back? Anybody else having pain in the back? Amen. Why don't you just sit there? Can I pray for you? All right, just sit there. I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, thank you for it right now. Thank you for the anointing. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. I speak to every bone, to every ligament, and to every tissue in Jesus' name. You receive the life of God the way that you were created. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Align. 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 In Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. All the way. I just sense it. All the way. In Jesus' name. Say, I receive. Say it, I receive. You got it. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it. You got it. There you go. You got it. Say, I receive it. Say it. You got it again. Come on. I receive it. Yeah, you got it. There you go. Keep working that faith, all right? Tonight, when you're laying down, I receive it. You keep working that faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let me pray and bless you tonight, if you would. Let me. Lord, we love you and bless you. For those that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Lord, I thank you that even right now, that desire is rising on the inside of them to be filled with the Spirit, to speak in other tongues. Lord, I bless every heart. I bless every life. I declare in the name of Jesus that right now the will of God and the word of God are going to become so clear to every family, to every marriage, to every destiny, to everyone that's wanting to know what they're to do in college. The word of God will bring clarity to their lives in Jesus' name. Why don't you say this with your mouth? Say, I receive for the will of God to become clear every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.